From Mark 16, 1 through 7. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And they entered the tomb. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." This is the word of the Lord.
Marcos 16, del 1 al 7. Cuando pasó el sábado, María Magdalena, María la madre de Jacobo y Salomé compraron especies aromáticas para ir a ungir el cuerpo de Jesús. Muy de mañana, el primer día de la semana, apenas salido el sol, se dirigieron al sepulcro. Iban diciéndose unas a otras: "¿Quién nos quitará la piedra de la entrada del sepulcro?" Pues la piedra era muy grande. Pero al fijarse bien, se dieron cuenta de que estaba corrida. Al entrar en el sepulcro, vieron a un joven vestido con un manto blanco, sentado a la derecha, y se asustaron. "No se asusten", les dijo. "Ustedes buscan a Jesús el Nazareno, el que fue crucificado. Ha resucitado. No está aquí. Miren el lugar donde lo pusieron. Pero vayan a decirles a los discípulos y a Pedro, él va delante de ustedes a Galilea. Allí lo verán, tal como les dijo." Esta es la palabra de Dios.
Well, good morning. I am Pastor Greg. Usually for quite a while, I was always getting it wrong, and I'd say good morning when it was evening, and I thought maybe I might say good evening when it's morning, but good morning. Good morning. So today I want to begin with a question. My question is, have you got problems? Have you got problems? You know, we all look nice, and we're well-dressed, a lot of us. Not everybody, maybe. Doesn't really matter. But no matter how we look inside, I'll bet every single one of us has got a whole bunch of problems. And if you've got problems, then that's kind of good, because you've got something in common with Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. They had a problem. Their friend, Jesus, had been falsely accused. He had been sentenced to death. He had died on a cross in a horrible, gruesome way. And now their friend, the person that they followed, their teacher, was dead. They had a problem. So the both Marys and Salome, their friend being dead, Jesus, they did what maybe best that they thought they could do. They thought, okay, after he's dead, we'll go and we'll take care of his body. And so they got spices and they went to his tomb. Now, Jesus, his body had been taken off the cross after he died. And it hadn't been put in the ground. It had been put in a tomb, which was basically like a cave. And so this cave, this tomb had been hollowed out of the rock, and that's where his body had been placed. And so they went there. And as they were walking along, they realized that they had another problem. They were not going to be able to move the stone. They didn't have the strength in their arms to be able to push that stone out of the way. What were they going to do when they got there? They must have felt helpless. They must have felt, what am I going to do? I have no one to help me. And maybe you feel that way. Maybe you feel some of those struggles and problems in life. I've got my problems, and some time ago, I had a really big problem. You see, I was wondering, why should I even live? I was really hopeless. I couldn't figure out, what should I live for? You see, I was in college, and I'd become really smart. And in college, I learned there's probably not a God. And as I started to live that out, I started to lose hope. And I started to wonder, what am I living for? Because if I'm all there is, and you are all that it is, then by the end of my life, I'm just going to end up in the ground, and the best that will become of me, at least from my perspective, will be worm food. That's it. So what perspective does that give me for life? Very little. And so I became depressed. I had a big problem. It was tough to live in depression. Maybe you have problems and struggles like that. Maybe you struggle with limitations. Limitations with abilities. You want to do certain things, but you just aren't able to do it. You want to do certain things with your time, but you don't have enough time to do it. You're limited by time. Maybe you're limited by money. You can't pay for the things you need to pay for. These are huge problems and limitations. I want to ask you to just pause for a minute and think, close your eyes maybe and think of something that you're limited by, some limitation that you have. If you got that, probably wasn't too hard. But I have actually bad news. As bad as those struggles and as bad as those limitations may be, we have a much greater problem. And that problem is called sin. It's the S word that we don't really like to say, the other S word, sin. Sin has been defined as anything that is displeasing to God. Anything displeasing to God. Anything that is not according to God's perfect will. And God is perfect. Or if you think about it as a target, right? Like a dartboard target. And God's perfect will is the bullseye. And all the other things are things we easily hit the outside of the board. But getting it right in the center, right at the bullseye, just doing exactly as God would like us to do all the time is pretty much impossible. It is impossible. That's sin. It's a problem we can't get rid of on our own. You know, if I hurt somebody, I can't take back the hurt. I can't reverse the tape. That hurt is there. I can do something else, but I can't take it back. Sin is a problem we cannot get rid of on our own. Sin looks like unbelief. Actually, in the Bible we learn that not believing in God is really ultimately the greatest sin, because that's the beginning of connecting with God and with hitting the mark. Sin looks like arrogance, pride, thinking we're better than others, selfishness. Sin looks like a lack of love and a lack of truth. That's sin. It's our greatest problem. It's the problem every one of us here has. And that's bad news. I'm sorry to bring that to us today. But this bad news is part of the good news. And today is about good news. And the good news is this. There's an answer to the bad news. There's an answer to the bad news. And that's what we're celebrating today. We are celebrating that Jesus rose from the dead, that he came back to life. Today, we celebrate that love, the love of God, wins. It's up there in the next slide. The love of God wins. And we celebrate that the arms of Jesus have the power to save us. Whoops. There we go. So, Mary and Salome, they found out about that the arms of Jesus have the power to save us when they got to the tomb. They knew their arms were not going to be strong enough to move that stone, but when they arrived, the stone had already been moved. It was rolled away already. The problem had been taken care of. When they went inside, there was somebody that we would call today an angel, and he said to them, Jesus is not here. He's risen. He's come back to life. The arms of God had the power to move a large stone and to bring Jesus back to life. See, Jesus died on a cross, even though he was innocent. Jesus never did anything wrong, not even once his entire life, and yet he died on a cross for sins, not of his own, for our sins. He died to pay the price for our badness. He died instead of us. But he came back to life, especially for us. Jesus now has the power over sin and life and death, and he has that power for us. The same power that raised Jesus to life is the same power that is available for you and me personally today. And why did Jesus do this? We've been kind of wrestling with this as a church, but I'll just remind us again, it's simply because of his love. Because of his love for us, that he knows each and one, every one of us by name, personally. And no matter what we've been through, no matter what we've done, he still loves us. And that's why he did this. Because he loves us. Because he wants to have a friendship with us. Because he wants to change us from the inside out. Because he wants to renew us so that we can be forgiven. So that we can receive his Spirit and live life by his power. So that we can begin to act more like Jesus and to love people more like Jesus does. So that the world will be made better through us. And so that we'll know where we're going. So that we'll have a perspective for life. This is what Jesus won on the cross for us. Love wins. Can you say amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Those same arms that hung on a cross for my sins and for your sins are the same arms that are reaching out to us today. The arms of Jesus aren't just strong. The arms of Jesus are welcome. Have you ever felt alone? Maybe at school, maybe at work, maybe even here today. You're new. Feeling alone is a bad feeling. But if you're feeling alone, you know that welcoming arms, arms that reach out to you, are one of the greatest things you'll ever see. Arms that reach out and say, come on, I want to take you with me. Arms that reach out and say, hey, I like you already. Arms that reach out and say, I don't judge you. Arms that reach out and say, come on, I want to introduce you to my friends. These are the arms of Jesus. The strong arms that have the power to save, but the arms that also reach out to us and say, I love you. Come to me. I love you. Going back to me, I experienced in college Jesus' arms reaching out to me. And you know who I experienced them through? Of all people, Christians. Ooh, okay? You know, those Christian people just kept coming up to me and they were talking to me and they'd invite me to things. And I didn't always treat them well. I'm sorry. I feel bad about it. But they were patient. They were loving. They kept persisting. And in the back of my mind, I thought, wow, I wonder if this is Jesus. Even though I didn't believe in him. I was an atheist, remember? I wondered, could this be Jesus reaching out to me through these people? And the truth of the matter, it was. Today we celebrate that Jesus is alive, that he has the power to save us from our problems, that he's stretching out his arms to welcome us. But he's doing more than that. He's not just offering us a distant handshake. He wants to embrace us. The arms of Jesus embrace us. I know it sounds a little cheesy, but it's really true. God wants to hug us. That's the closeness of the relationship that God wants to have with you and me. And that's hard sometimes if we're all educated to really grasp. But that's the truth of the matter. God wants to hug us every day. Now, I experienced this first embracing of me in college when I finally said yes to Jesus. And when I said yes, I knew it had to be more than just up here. It had to involve some action. And somebody had invited me to go to some Christian retreat, and so I went. And when I went there, I experienced the love of God in a way that I have never experienced before. And that changed my life. And from that point on, everything was different. In fact, I changed my career, and now I'm standing up here today.
Praise Jesus.
Yes. Praise Jesus. Amen. Now, my friend, Gina, is going to share a little something about her experience of embracing and receiving the embrace of God's love, of Jesus' love.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Happy Easter. just a forewarning, if I get a little emotional, just bear with me. There actually is a reason why, though, that I do get a little choked up every time I think about Jesus' love. I'm already getting choked up. growing up, I experienced a lot of abuse, and I kind of never recovered from that. So as I got older, kind of like the only positive comments I would get from my mom would always be regarding my weight. And so in my mind, if I was this perfect image or this perfect daughter or this perfect person, that would be the ticket to receiving love from my parents and from my friends. And so I struggled with that for a really long time, and I had an eating disorder for about 8 years. And it was just a really big struggle for me. I was in and out of really bad relationships, and I struggled to find this idea of love, and I never really understood what it was, and I just kind of stopped believing in it. I kind of had no hope, and I didn't have a hope in my future either. It wasn't until, I guess now, when Pastor Greg was talking about the arms of embrace and the arms of love, all I could really think about was my first time coming to CWOW, what that really meant to me. Because I grew up in church, but even in my church, those kind of negative ideas of what love was, it just didn't make sense to me. And I stopped believing in a God. And I just stopped believing that a God that loved me so much could put me through just all of these trials. And when I came to CWOW, that was the first time that I really felt his presence in my life. And even though now, like, I still struggle with fear, I'm always scared that I'm not enough or I'm not worthy. Jesus always finds a way to remind me that I am worthy of his love and I can have love in my life. So that's my story. And I just really wanted to thank all of you all at CWOW for showing me Jesus' embrace and for showing that to me every single week. So thank you.
Jesus is alive.
Hey.
He has the power to save us from sin and all our problems. He is stretching out his arms to welcome us and embrace us with his extravagant, generous, huge, big love. The question again today is not now, do you have problems? The question is, will you receive it fresh today? Will you receive and embrace Jesus' embrace of you anew today? Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. Every day is a new day to embrace Jesus and to understand Jesus and take him in a deeper way. Maybe you're not yet a Christian. Well, today can be the first day that you know the love of Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that there will be nothing better than that. Anybody in this room who knows that knows there is nothing better than knowing the love of Jesus. To accept or to embrace Jesus is to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. For yours personally, for me personally. Because he loves you. And that he rose from the dead to give you new life. To renew you, to change you, and to begin a new relationship with God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Oh, yes.
If you do, great. Hallelujah. But if you don't, you can believe it today. Believing in Jesus, however, is not just a head thing. It's a head and a heart and an action thing. Like I said before, I knew I had to do something when I believed. I had to accept that invitation. I had to go somewhere. I had to go be with some Christians. And I had to, and in that environment, that's where I received and started to really feel the love of Jesus. You know, if I say I believe in a bicycle, and believe that I can ride a bicycle, and I see a bicycle over there, if I don't get on that bicycle and start pedaling, I'll never really know what it is like to be on a bicycle. And that's how it is with embracing and accepting Jesus. We have to do something beyond just what's in our head. So Christians, is there something about Jesus that you need to embrace in a fresh way today? Maybe it's His love. Maybe it's the joy of Jesus. Maybe it's His power, His ability to help you in your inability. Maybe it's His ways to help you in your limitations. Maybe it's just walking and saying, I'm going to walk more with You today, Jesus, by Your Spirit and by Your power. And not yet Christians, how about you? Can you say yes to Jesus today? If you do, I want to encourage you to do something. Pray with somebody. Tell somebody. Tell me. Ask somebody to pray with you. Put your hand up. Whatever you want to do, do something that says, I said yes to Jesus. Maybe it's even to take communion for the very first time, but let somebody else know. And go to a church. It doesn't have to be this church. It can be any church. But go somewhere where Christians are. Okay, I want to ask you to stand up and do something uncomfortable. What I want you to do is I want you to hug somebody next to you. And I want you to say, you are loved. And if you believe in Jesus, I want you to say, you are loved by Jesus. Just hug one another and say, you are loved by Jesus. All right. If you'd like, you can sit down and we're going to pray. Dear God, we thank You for sending Jesus, Your Son. And we thank You, Jesus, that You died for us, that You rose for us, that You have the power over life and death, that You have the power over sin, and that You are welcoming us with Your arms, and even more than that, that You are embracing us. We give You praise and we thank You, Jesus. Help us to receive Your love today.